All right. Well, like they mentioned, today's Palm Sunday. And traditionally, we've gone out and bought a bunch of palms. And we have them. We've started out downstairs. And we walked around throwing them on the sidewalk and stuff like that. And when you read the scriptures, they did do that. They went out in the countryside and they cut up branches and palm branches. And they some people took their clothes and threw them in front of Jesus as he came riding in on a donkey. And it tells us that this was to fulfill Scripture. And what they're referring to is Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the foal of a donkey." A colt foal of a donkey. Now, the donkey part's very significant because what this scripture is talking about is a couple of things. A couple of things in history happened. When Alexander the Great conquered the area down in that realm, he came through and he's conquering the cities. When he got to Jerusalem, he bypassed Jerusalem. He went down and conquered the next city. Then he came back to Jerusalem. And he was really ticked at Jerusalem because they had not been paying the tribute to him that they were supposed to have been paying. And so when he came riding back into the town, you know, the people were really resistant against the occupation. And so normally they would have thrown up a fuss. But the high priest had a vision, and in that vision he was told that the people were to decorate the city with lights and they were to dress in white and welcome him. And so, excuse me, when Alexander the Great came to the gates, they threw the gates open. Everything was decorated in light. They were in their white clothes. They welcomed him. They brought him into the city, and it was not at all what he was expecting. And so he came riding on his big horse. Horses were a symbol of warriors. If you're going to battle, the leader, the heads, rode horses because they were bigger, they were stronger, okay? Donkeys, I haven't been around donkeys, they're not that big, but they're good work animals and so on, but they're also the animals of peaceful royalty. And so he came in on his big horse, and he was so impressed by the way they welcomed him that he didn't destroy him, he didn't have any fight with him, they just settled things out and they went on. So there was a peaceful entry, okay? 400 years back in just about the time Malachi realm, that also happened during the Maccabean fights. They won. They had a battle with the conquerors, and they won that battle. And so when the Jewish army people came riding into town, they gave him the same kind of greeting. They threw the palms and so on. And again, it was that the entering of the heroes into that realm. And so, but if you look at it, it all had a part. It all had a plan in history. Alexander the Great was playing a part. And the reason that God gave them that vision was Alexander was supposed to conquer during that time. And the reason he was supposed to conquer is he set the ground rules. He started setting in place the things that were needed for Jesus and for the gospel to be spread. Because when Alexander came in and he conquered, the thing that he did was he set up, you know, people to rule, but he also made people learn Greek. He made them learn Greek. So everybody had to learn Greek. Well, along comes Jesus, and guess what? Everybody speaks Greek. Well, in Jerusalem, they speak Aramaic, okay? But Jesus is resurrected, and the apostles go out into the world. No matter where they go, they can talk to people because everybody speaks Greek. So it was when Alexander did the conquering, it was one phase of setting things in place. When the Roman government conquered all the world, they did the next part. They created roads. They made it safe and easier to travel. So when Paul and the people went out, they weren't on some dusty old trail. They were on a road that was maintained by the Roman government and protected by the government. So Jesus is fulfilling a prophecy here that was set hundreds of years before his time. And other people played a part in that. Okay? But the part we're looking at, was all part of the God's plan. I like one thing Marcia Stevens said last week, about, and I've heard her say it, talk about it before, is that when she was in the choir and they kicked her out, she thought she'd, plan A was down the tubes, and now she was going to be living in plan B. And it wasn't until a few years down the road that she realized that when they kicked her out of the choir, they were kicking her into plan A. They were kicking her into plan A. And that was God's plan for her life all along. And she's fulfilled it, and she's done it very well over the years. And so we look at 1 Peter 1:20, and it says, He, Jesus, was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And so Peter tells us that, sometimes people get the misconception that when Jesus came into the town and they welcomed him as the conqueror, the king, that was supposed to have been plan A. And that crucifixion ended up being plan B. But that's not the case. The crucifixion was the plan A all along. And actually, Jesus is coming into town, again, is laying the groundwork for what's going to happen a week later. We see that in Luke 19, 37 through 40. When Jesus came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of his disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Now, Scripture tells us that this, what we're hearing right here, took place shortly after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So these are some of the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay, they're calling him a king. Officials don't like that. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Amen. Okay? So basically he's saying, this is part of the plan. It's part of the thing. If the people shut up, it's going to happen. It's going to happen anyway. Because it's going to tick them off. The leaders, the religious leaders that are there, it's going to make them mad. Okay? As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. They were so caught up in their own religious beliefs, their own rituals and so on, they couldn't see. Another scripture says, if they had only known, they wouldn't have crucified him. If Satan had known what would happen, he wouldn't have spurred the people on it with the anger and everything else. He wouldn't have let Jesus be crucified because the crucifixion took care of sin. He says, if you knew, But now it was hidden from their eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground. You and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Amen. You didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. Okay? And John 12:37 says, Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. And there's other scriptures that point that out. There's the story of Lazarus, the beggar, on the steps of the rich guy. Lazarus dies and is taken to Abraham's bosom. The old guy dies and he goes off to the not so good place. And he says, Abraham, have Lazarus come and dip his finger in water and put some on my tongue. He wanted him to wait on him even there. And Abraham says, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And what does the guy say? Well, send somebody back to tell my brothers so they'll know. And what does Abraham say? Even if somebody returns from the dead, they won't believe. And so what he's saying is that you can see miracles and you can see things happen, but it doesn't always change your life. I work in the hospital. I see things happen all the time. So many people smoke, okay? And they'll get in trouble respiratory-wise. They almost die. They come into the hospital. They've been smoking. They've been abusing their bodies. And they're on death's doorstep, and they quit smoking, and they're never going to smoke again. Until 2 weeks out of the hospital when they're feeling good again. And then it's like, well, you know, it's not that bad. So they start up again. It doesn't take that long. Yeah, well, I'm being generous, okay? But we see it happen all the time. It's just amazing to me how that happens. So what this is saying is this is all part of God's plan, okay? And Palm Sunday is that Sunday when the triumphant entry into the city, okay, when people recognize Jesus for who he is and so on and so forth. And it says the disciples were there and they were screaming and yelling. They were throwing the palms. They were throwing cloaks and stuff on front of them, you know. And like Sean said, it's Palm Sunday. We have palms, you know. Now, do we ever use these palms? Of course. You'd notice one time up here when Jay was singing, he's standing over here and he's singing, and every now and again, his palm goes in the air. Now, if you look over here, Kelly's got both of them up. Some people wave them, you know. But why do we do this?
Blessings from the Lord.
It's part of praise, it's part of worship. And it first stopped me. I grew up in a church where we didn't do that. And the first time I went down to a Long Beach conference, and we're sitting there, and they start singing, and people are raising their hands. I'm sitting on my chair. I'm not putting my hands in the air. You know, symbolically, this is what I'm doing. I'm sitting on them. It's like, it ain't happening. I'm not doing that. You know? But we raise our palms. We raise our hand, and that's what the people were doing. They were waving. It was their version of a ticker tape parade. They were praising. Jesus made that triumphant entry into the city. Does Jesus make a triumphant entry in our lives? And when he did, were our lives changed? Are our lives still being changed? I hope so. Because whenever Jesus entered a situation, he was basically saying, you need to choose. Amen. You need to choose. And so the first question that I have down here, today's question is, has God ever visited you? Okay? If God visited you, which fork in the road did you take? Which fork in the road? Who was it? Wasn't it Frost that wrote the poem about the road less traveled? It came to the fork in the road, and you had to decide which one you're going to take. This one that's well traveled or this one that's not so well? So when Jesus comes, which fork did you take? Did you, like the people here, there were people that were praising and screaming and yelling. There were people that were saying, hey, tell your people to shut up. They're making a fuss. Which fork did you take? And in looking at this, sometimes God visits us in different situations, okay? And the first one I have down there is sometimes God visits us when we glimpse how short life is. When we glimpse how short life is. And I can tell you, I've been in the medical field for 37 years. I glimpse this all the time. I glimpse it all the time. And sometimes they're very young. I worked at Primary Children's Hospital. While I worked there, my neighbor that I grew up with, daughter came in, lived for a short time and died. A friend of mine from the military, son came in and died. My cousin's son came in and died. I saw it happen really young with newborns. I've seen younger kids up at the university who had cystic fibrosis. I sat with a 13-year-old, giving him a treatment one time, and he was sitting there, and he was really sick. And he says, do you believe in God? And I said, yeah. And he says, "Can you talk to me for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." So I sit and talked with him, and we talked about dying and life and hereafter. And I, you know, he went to church. And I said, "Have your family and them, have you guys never talked about this?" And it's like, "No." And so we sit and we talked. And his head hurt. He had a headache from it. And I rubbed his head. And he said, "Will you pray with me?" I said, "Sure." So we sit there and we prayed. And he died the next day. He was 13. I've seen 20-year-olds. But the other day, the person was 86. And you know, how many... Mark's 19. Nobody, I don't think there's anybody here younger than Mark. Anybody in their, like, mid-20s? 30s? 40s? 50s? 60s? 70s? Oh, good. Okay. But you know one thing? I'm 64. And you know what I've realized? It ain't that long. I mean, I thought, you know, 64. And when I was younger, I looked at 64, and I thought, wow, they're ancient. I can remember my parents were 64. It was like, my gosh, will I ever live that long? You know? Isn't that the way it is? And then all of a sudden you look around and you're 64 and you go, it really hasn't been that long. Life really is short. And we look at opportunities that we have. And Jesus comes to our life. And I remember a story that Lee Strobel talked about when he was an atheist. And he was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. And so he was doing a story. And have you remember Ford Pintos? Yeah. Well, back in the 80s, I had one. There was these Ford Pintos. And if they got rear-ended at slow or moderate speeds, they exploded. And a situation happened in Chicago where a guy was in a delivery truck, and he looked away for a minute, and he looked back around, and the Pinto had stopped, and he hit him, not fast, just slow, and the car exploded. And there were three teenagers inside. Well, what happened is when it explodes, the inside instantly becomes 1,700 degrees. Well, the one girl was partially thrown out, partially, just enough that her lungs didn't get cooked by inhaling the hot fumes. But she was 95% burned. Now, I worked at the university. I can tell you, 95%, you don't survive. It doesn't happen. Okay? And so they were taking her to another place, and she went to one hospital, but they had to take her to another one. She wasn't in a lot of pain, because when you're that burned, your skin falls off, and you know, you're not really in pain. So they were transporting her, and a nurse was sitting with her, and the nurse just wasn't sure what to do to help make her comfortable, you know, in this time. But the girl mentioned something about Jesus. And so the nurse quoted a scripture about how God walks with her and takes care of you, and that even though, you know, the fire will not consume you, and even though her two friends had been killed instantly, the fire only killed the body. But it didn't consume them. And it brought a peace to her that amazed the doctors and the other people that helped take care of her. And that peace as her passing on. And I've seen that happen in lots of people at the hospital. You know, the peace that just takes over. And the person that's terminal, and they go, "It's okay. It's okay." But we realize how short life really is, even if we're 80. But see, God visits in those times. And we have to decide. And Lee says that in the story, he says that God nudged him at that time. But he chose the other road because he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. How many times in our lives do we see that? And which road do we choose? The second one, God visits us when we're in the middle of a personal crisis. How many have been in personal crises where God visits you? Yeah. And we make things and we say things at those times. And it's like, oh, God, get me out of this crisis. Get me through this. And God does. And you know what we tend to do at those times? We tend to play the game, let's make a deal. Tell you what, Lord, you get me out of this, or you take care of this, and I'll do this. I'll read the scriptures every day. You know, and maybe God's so blunt that he puts the scriptures right in your hand. And you go, I'll read the scriptures every day. And it's kind of like quitting smoking. I've done it. I do it. I've got a book in the back that I started several months ago. And it's a 28-day book, right? God helped me to be more spiritual in 28 days. Yeah, I've had that book for a long time. Haven't we, Chris? Chris and I started reading it together. I think we're on day 12. At this rate, it'll only take us 4 years. You know? But, you know, it's it. We get in those things, and it's really easy to forget. And Lee tells a story again about when his daughter was born. And she ended up intensive. She was born, and everything looked okay, and all of a sudden she went bad. And Lee prayed. He said, now, I'm an atheist. You know how there's the old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes? Well, he prayed, and it was like, you know, let's make a deal. Tell you what, God, you get my kid through this. I will believe. I'll do this. I'll do that. And then the doctors came in after a little while, and they said, well, we don't know what was wrong with your kid, but she's fine now. And what was Lee's response? Well, isn't that a coincidence? Took the other road again. And we have to do that in our life. You know, we're believers. But you know what? God still works through crises in our life. Amen. To get our attention. And sometimes God gets our attention. But do we stay on that road? Okay? Sometimes God visits us when we long to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Ever have that? I mentioned I've been in the medical field for 37 years. But a few years back, I mean, God called me to ministry and I kept ignoring it, trying to. But I worked in the medical field and I looked at that and said, you know, that's ministry. That's taking care of people, you know, and so on. But then I realized all I was doing was taking care of their bodies. A code comes in. We resuscitate them. We bring them back to life. We're taking care of their body. We don't take care of inside, except for the time when I prayed with a 13-year-old. And a few times other than that when people have asked. But for the most part, I was taking care of their body, and it's like, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. And there is. It's Jesus Christ. It's God's love. God's compassion for all of us. God's plan. And we realize there's something bigger. Now, is there anything wrong with me working in the hospital? No, there's not. There's not. Is there anything wrong with anything? I mean, you know what? People are garbage collectors. Praise God for garbage collectors. You know? I praise God for them, you know? All the time. And if you look at Scripture, when Jesus called people, okay, what did he say to Peter, James, and John? Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They were fishermen. They owned their own businesses. Nothing wrong with being a fisher. He says, you're just going to change who you're fishing for. Okay? Matthew, tax collector. He says, hey, come follow me. And he gets up. He's wealthy. But he realizes there's something bigger. There's something better. Amen. Zacchaeus is wealthy. He's a little guy like Jody. Okay? Jesus is coming to town. He can't see. So what does he do? Climbs a tree. And what does Jesus do? Comes along and says, hey, Zacchaeus, get down here. I need to go to your house today. And Zacchaeus is thrilled. And he goes and he says, hey, look, today I'm changed. I'm giving half of my wealth away, and if I cheated anybody, I'm going to repay him four times. And Jesus said, You got it, buddy. My virgin. Okay? But he realized that, you know, I mean, he was, again, wealthy. And he realized there was something bigger and better.
Amen.
You know? Paul, riding to Damascus, Jesus knocks him off his high horse. He realizes there's something better. And he becomes zealous for Jesus. Okay? How often in our lives have we looked at stuff and said, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. And our lives sometimes feel empty. And what we're missing is that presence. And Jesus is always there. We're the ones that step away. When we do things we think aren't right, what is the first thing we do? We turn our back on God because, like, I don't want you looking at me. I don't want you to see what I've done, like God couldn't. You know, like we could really get away from it. You know? But in our lives, there's times when we have those promptings inside that says, you know, there's more to life than just this. And we want to be a part of something bigger. That's why Jesse and them are getting everything ready for Pride Day. Because there are thousands of people out there that don't know God's love. Or have turned their back because they think God's pissed. Oh, is that a good word? Sorry.
Amen.
Yeah. Mad.
Amen.
Okay?
That's right.
But that's what it is, you know? And we have that longing to be something, part of something bigger. I mean, all of us, when we kick the bucket, would like to have people say, you know what? Did a good job when he was here. And we want Jesus to say, good and well, you know, well done, good and faithful service. Come on in. But Satan tries to scare us to think that that's not part of us. That can't be us because of whatever. Okay? But those promptings, when those things happen to us, we need to realize that this is God visiting and saying, hey, look, maybe you need to recognize that I've got a different road for you to follow than you're on.
Amen.
And you think this road's really important. But inside you go, there is something bigger and better. Now, did I give up the medical field? No. I'm still there. I love it. I love it. And, you know, part of me is changing. It's like I go into one patient's room and he's just obnoxious and all this stuff. And so what do? When he's taking his treatment, I stand and I pray for him.
Amen.
Yeah, pour your healing into him. Is it working? Yeah.
Amen.
I can see it in him. But sometimes I forget to do that.
Yeah.
To my fault. And sometimes God visits us when we see Jesus in the lives of other people. And you know what? They're not always the nicest people. Sometimes they're just jerks. But you look at them and you see Jesus in them. And you see a potential in there. And it's like, won't you wake up to this? Won't you wake up to it? Again, I like it when Lee Strobel wrote several books called The Case for Christ, Case for Faith, Case for Easter, Case for Christmas, Case for Creation. He was kind of a legalistic, and so that's how God uses him, okay? And so in this particular setting, when he sees Jesus, he talks about a thing when they assigned him to write a story about poor people in Chicago. So he went out to visit this family that was picked somehow. And he went to their house, and when he got there, it was an older woman, and she had two granddaughters living with her, and they were a year apart, and they had no furniture, they had no food, except for a cup of rice. And as he talked to them, they just had this positive attitude that God was going to take care of everything, and everything's going to be good. And all this, and so he, you know, listened to him talk. The two daughters, granddaughters, they had one sweater between them. And so it was a half a mile to school. So one would put the sweater on and they would go the first half a mile. Then they'd switch and then they'd go the last half a mile. So he wrote about them, told about their story and so on, and then went on to the next story. And he didn't think about them again until Christmas. And he thought, I wonder how they're doing. So he decided to go visit them. He went over to the house, knocked on the door. They welcomed him in, and it was a whole different story. Pictures were on the wall, furniture everywhere, food everywhere, piled on the cupboard, not room for it in the pantry, clothes all over the place. People had read the story, and they had sent a bunch of stuff, money. They had money to them. And so he was talking to them, and he noticed they were busily doing stuff. And he said, what are you doing? He said, well, we're giving this stuff away. And he says, what? You're giving it away? He says, well, yeah. Our neighbors don't have anything. Our neighbors don't have anything. And that's what Jesus would do. And it was like, whoa. Again, God nudging him. He finally got the message.
Amen.
Finally got the message. But he was seeing Jesus in these people. And you see Jesus in Mother Teresa. But you know what? We don't need to be Mother Teresa. Because, you know, we're not. But we meet everyday people on the street, on the bowling league, when we bowl against people. Sometimes you just see Jesus right there, but they're squishing. They're like these Pharisees over here saying, tell the people to shut up. Well, they're telling themselves, let's suppress this, because it can't be. How many of you went through that? Jesus can't love me. Jesus can't care about me. And sometimes we listen to that, and it's like, we need to stand up against it. Amen. You know, I would tell you, if you hear that in your life, don't ever let it go unchallenged.
Amen.
There's a simple phrase, shut up.
Stupid liar.
Yeah, stupid liar, get out of my life. Don't let it go unchallenged.
Amen.
Yeah, go away. Okay? So, as believers, why shouldn't we procrastinate? Number one, because you don't know how many opportunities you'll have. You don't know how many opportunities you'll have. Guy went to high school with, married, couple of kids, construction job, run a little backhoe, out working on a project. Now, the old tractors, they had the backhoes on them. They'd come in and they'd put the little things out and they'd, you know, put the stabilizing legs. Well, the tires kept turning. Remember those? Well, he was on his tractor. He slipped and fell off. Landed on the ground, but he landed between the curb and the tire just kept hitting him. Well, they brought him in the hospital, and it's like they took him to surgery and they opened him up, and the tire had just destroyed his liver. Tell you what, you can't live without a liver. And they took him back to the room. And he was on a ventilator, one of the things I run for him. And it keeps him breathing. And he was awake and alert. And they brought his wife in. They said, 3 days, max. And they're right. I mean, it's one of the things you can tell. I've seen it so many times. And so he and his wife decided that he wanted to say goodbye to his family and kids. So the time was set. Kids were waiting outside, mom and dad outside, his wife. We pulled the tube out, got him all ready, and he brought his kids in and said, hey, look, I'm going away. You need to help your mom. The kids left, said goodbye to his parents, and his wife held his hands for the next 15 minutes. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to have. How often do people leave work? They don't come back. Speaking of life short, when I was in ninth grade, we did a Christmas break. You remember those? You go away for Christmas, you come back. I came back to my science class, and the desk in front of me is empty. Well, that's where Robert Herring sits. Where's Robert? He died on Christmas Day. Ninth grade, had a heart attack. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to have. Bill's niece. You know? So don't procrastinate. Luke 12:20. But God said to them, "You fool." Remember, this is the guy who had the big bumper crop of stuff, and he had all this grain. He says, "I don't have any place to store it. So I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones because I've got a lot. And I'm going to go off, and I'm going to party and have a good time because I got it made." And the Lord said, but God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" You know, I don't know when I'm going to kick the bucket. God does. I hope it's a surprise. Second, the reason we should not procrastinate is we'll miss out on We will miss irreplaceable time with God. Now, granted, when you kick the bucket, you're going to have a lot of time with God. But you know what? While you're here, enjoy all the time you can. Enjoy all the presence you can. You know, Chris, I'm going to talk about Chris for a minute. He didn't know this. But Chris hated his job he was at. It sucked. And he spent hundreds of hours doing work here on the computer, setting up things, getting things going. And he just wanted to spend more and more and more and more time here. Well, guess what? He lost his job. Praise God. Has more opportunities than he had before. And they're good. And God keeps blessing him so that he can still do it. He's down here 40, 50 hours a week.
Amen.
You know? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Spend time in the Spirit. Take advantage of what God does and see. Third, reason not to procrastinate, think of all the sin you never would have committed if you had decided earlier to follow Jesus. Been there, done that. Mm-hmm. You've heard of those scarlet sins? Had them. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to talk about that in their lives? Maybe not. Okay. James 5:20. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Whoever turns a sinner will cover over a multitude of sins. And you know what? It's just not talking about the sinner's sins. Talking about our own. We're blessed when we're a blessing. Yeah. Judge and you won't be judged and all that fun stuff. So this is Sunday. This is Palm Sunday, right? We're celebrating Jesus' entry into our lives. And when we look at Jesus' entry into our lives, what was it? Was it a yay? Yay. Okay. Yay! You know? Yeah. What is it? Where is it? And why is it still there if it's only... Because we keep it there. For whatever reason. Okay? So what's the application for Christians, for believers, which that'd be us, right?
That's us.
Okay. Bring your friends to where God will be.
Amen.
Sunday school, prayer service, worship service, wherever, your house.
Bible study.
Hopefully God's there. I mean, you're there, right? If you're there, God's there. Jesus is there.
Amen.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit's there. I mean, you are the what?
The temple of the Lord.
You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. So guess what? You can't go anywhere where God's not there.
Amen.
But I'm on the bus. So what? Yeah. Holy Spirit takes the bus. Because you do. Okay? So take your friends to where God's going to be. Where you experience that. Okay? What does that mean for people who are seekers? People who haven't caught past this maybe. Okay? Take God's fork in the road. If you're at that point in your life where you're questioning and you're not sure, and you're wondering what to do, take God's fork. Don't be like Lee. Wow, that was a coincidence. No, it wasn't. You prayed. God answered. I encourage you. Don't play let's make a deal. Or the price is right. You know. It doesn't work. Because we forget. Or we give up something to get door number two. Yeah. And it's like, you know, what's behind door number two? It's something secular. Cars, whatever. Mm-hmm. So today's the day we celebrate Jesus' entry into our lives.
Amen.
Hopefully it's a joyous celebration. Now, we're not celebrating with food today. We have cookies and apples and stuff like that down there. We do that next week. We're going to have breakfast and dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I hope you got a lot of eating room. Because they're going to do a lot of eating next week. You know? And it's interesting. Have you ever noticed that? What do they usually cook on Easter?
Ham.
Ham.
Which we're not supposed to eat in the Old Testament.
Yeah. That's just a way of saying, hey, we're free from that.
Amen.
We're free from that. So, you know. And so, you know, we're going to be having a ham. Jay's going, I don't like ham, but it's chicken. Well, just pretend it's a chicken with four legs. Yeah. So, kosher ham. I don't think so. Anyway, just, you know, look at your life and see where God's coming in. And you'll find that sometimes it's a triumphant entry or re-entry.
Amen.
And sometimes it's just that soft little word, that quiet voice. Because when Elijah was on the mountain, what was it? It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the earthquake. It was in the still, small voice. But if you're like me, I have a hard time shutting up long enough to hear that still, small voice. I told people before about Jerry Ann Harvey. In MCC, there was a lady that did healing services. Her name was Jerry Ann Harvey. She scared the heck out of me. Scared me to death, you know? And I was at a healing service one time, and I got up, and I'm in the line, and there's a whole bunch of people praying over people, and people are on the floor and all this stuff, you know. And I'm up there going, please, God, not Jerry Ann. Please, God, not Jerry Ann. Please, God, not Jerry Ann. And I'm standing there, and the person in front of Jerry Ann leaves, but an old guy down here, the same thing. So I, over there, because I'm not Jerry Ann. You know, he prayed over me, and I mean, it was a perfect prayer. I mean, it was something I really, really needed, but I didn't end up on the floor. And as I was leaving, Reverend Terry out of Sacramento grabbed me. She says, the Spirit prompts me that I'm supposed to pray for you. So we come over, we sit down. Probably not going to hit the floor if I'm sitting down. Okay, so she prays over me, and it's a completely different topic, but very pertinent. So I left. I went off and saw somebody that I knew that I'd met there that was in part of the praise and so on. And we chatted, and I went back over because one of the people that went down was not back yet. And it was like really late at night. And I go in there, and Kathy's still sitting there. And I'm talking to her. And I says, golly, I almost feel like going through again. She says, go ahead. She says, several people have. And it's like, okay. So I get up and I get in line again. I'm going, oh, God, not Jerry Ann. Not Jerry Ann. And I get up here and I look over and Jerry Ann's on the floor. And it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. It's not going to be Jerry Ann. Okay? So I go up to this guy and he starts praying over me. And how many, I can take my glasses off because I don't need to read anything. And how many of you have ever been slain in the spirit where you know, that's a lousy term, slain in the spirit. Resting in the spirit is better. Okay? And it's just like, just this peace comes over you and the calm. And it started happening. It was a young guy praying over me. And I started down. It's like, you know, this ain't happening to me. You know? So I fought it and it's like, and I caught myself. And he followed me down to the floor. And he's praying over me. He says, what are you afraid of? Why can't you let the Spirit just work? And it's like, maybe next time. And so years later, I'm at a service and the same thing, Jerry Ann's there. And I, you know, it's like, oh God, you know. But this time I got in line, it's like, I'm going to Jerry Ann if it kills me.
Yay!
And it may, you know. And so I get up to Jerry Ann and I she says, what can I help you with? And I said, you. That's me? What are you talking about? She says, you scare the heck out of me. She goes, I don't do anything. I just pray. And she laid her hands on me. And I didn't go on the floor. But she was praying over me. And she says, God, this one needs a billboard.
Amen.
This one needs a billboard. The quiet voice isn't going to work. And that was the prayer. I thought, well, that wasn't any big deal. 2 days later, I'm going on I-15. And guess what I saw? The billboard. And it was like, oh, thank you. Got it. I mean, she was being literal. And so don't limit what God's going to do. Don't limit how God's going to talk to you. It might be a billboard. It might be a megaphone. It might be just a little prompting. It says, turn left here. Now, do we always listen? Heck no. No. Yesterday, I went to work at the hospital. Originally, I was scheduled for 10:30. They said, can you come in at 9? Because it's really crazy and the person's going to be by themselves. We don't have anybody in the early shift coming in to help. I said, sure. Well, I didn't have to be there till 9, so I thought, well, I'm going to come in here first. And I'm going over, and half, you know, the marathons were going, you know, and I had to go all the way around. And I'm going up the South Temple, and it was like 7:30, and it's like, you just need to go to work. I thought, I have things to do at church, so I came over here. And, you know, I did some stuff, Jay, and I had a good talk, you know, so on and so forth. And I get into work at 9 o'clock, and it's just been nuts all morning long. Should have gone just to work. Should have just gone to work. Was it crazy all day long? Yeah, I was busy all day long, but I didn't get out there till 1 o'clock in the morning. Because at 9 o'clock, when I was supposed to go home, somebody tried to die out in the streets, and they brought him in. We brought him back. But listen, it may not be earth-shaking. It may not be earth-shattering. It may just be something simple as that. You're up, just go to work. But there's a purpose. So just listen. It's really not hard. Well, take that back. It's hard to get used to hearing and obeying. Because sometimes we don't think it's big enough. Guess what? It is. Even if it's just picking something up off the floor. Joyce Meyer said that she used to go into public bathrooms. And there'd be messes, and God would tell her to clean up the paper towels on the floor. She would say, they have people that do that. And the Spirit would say, I know, but I want you to do it.
Amen.
But don't you know who I am?
Yes, I do.
And you're where you are because of me. So get over yourself and pick up the paper towels. Put the shopping cart in the rack where they ask you to. She'd go to the store, and you know how you get too much in your basket? So you put the peanut butter in with the dill pickles because you can't, you know. And the Spirit would say, is that where you got it from? But Lord, but nothing. If this were your business, would you want people doing that to you? Amen. So she'd have to go put it back. She'd clip coupons. And the coupons would say, 2 per family. But she'd have a coupon, and she'd send her kid with a coupon and another kid with a coupon. Then she'd worry about it because what if they don't have enough money? And they'd say, Mom, I need some more money. You know, they would know. And one day she did that with chickens, and she said, she got out there, and the Spirit said, congratulations, you just stole 4 chickens. It was like, convicted her. And she was at a meeting at one time, and she was telling the story about it. And the pastor's sitting there, and he points at his wife and says, you made me steal toilet paper. Because his wife had done that too. Listen to the promptings. Is it a big deal about the chickens? No, but it has to do with obedience and honesty. And the Spirit's going to prompt. And you know what she says, sometimes the Spirit gets on my case about stuff, and she's her husband's doing the same thing, and the Spirit doesn't bother him at all. It's like, you know, how come you're on my case and you're not on her case about it? Because I'm the one that needs it. We're on different planes. We're on different walking fields. We're not all in the same place. So God's not going to deal with us in the same way. God gets on my case about stuff that he ain't going to bother you about. But just listen. And enjoy. That's the other part. Enjoy it. Don't kick against it. It's like worship through giving. God loves a
cheerful giver.
Yeah. If it's not cheerful, please don't do it. Please. It ain't worth it. Other than maybe you'll learn to be cheerful. I don't know. But be cheerful about it. Because that's God's way. But God enters our lives in different ways. It's not always with fanfare. But listen. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you cared enough about us that you, before the world was even made, you planned it all out. That you knew we'd screw up and mess up so badly that we needed Jesus Christ to come and set it all right. And you planned it before you even started creation so that we couldn't take any credit for anything. And Lord, I thank you for that, for caring enough about us. And God, help us to care for you as much and about each other so that when we walk out on the street and we meet those people out there, those people, your children out there, that they'll know that you walk with us. That they'll see you in us. And Lord, we'll be able to share you with them. And they'll know that we are your children. So I thank you for all of it. Just lead us and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.